This is session number 47 of the Gospel according to John. We're in chapter 6, and last time we finished through verse 29. This is the discourse where Jesus Christ is going to reveal that he is the bread of life. It's a powerful discourse, and there are many very important and vital truths that he is going to reveal and unveil, both about himself and about this work of salvation that he's coming to accomplish. And also about how one is able to come to Christ, how one is able to actually come to faith, how one is actually able to partake of Jesus Christ in this great work. So this is a really vital passage to continue in, to meditate upon, to really drink in, to really understand, to receive deep into our hearts and into our beings. As I said, we finished verse 29 last time. This is where Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." This is very vital. Remember, these guys have followed Jesus. They went all the way out into the desert with him. Jesus fed them. Then Jesus and his disciples went across the sea, and now they came shipping, searching for him, and they found him. So these people are really seeking for Jesus, but we're going to see they're seeking for the wrong motive. And they think that they can do these great works of Christ, but Christ has to focus them first. And say, it's not about great works you can do. No, in fact, it's not even about works, plural. This is the work of God. You know what God's work is? You know what he really wants in you? You know what he wants from you? You know what your only hope is? That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So now we're going to come to verse 30 today. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I'm going to stop there for now. It's a lot to go through and a lot to digest. I'm going to go back to verse 30. We're going to work our way through this slowly. This is important. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? What sign showest thou then?" Now you remember what Jesus Christ said. It's recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." So when people are seeking for signs, "What sign showest us thou then?" You can almost hear the attitude of slight contempt and kind of like prove it sort of thing. "What sign showest thou?" You can almost hear it through the text. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 12:39, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it." But he's going to give a sign. The sign of the prophet Jonas. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So here's something we have to understand. People who seek after signs, they're evil and they're adulterous. They're covetous. They love the world. They love the things of the world. They love the things of the flesh. They're pursuing the things of the flesh. And those kind of people, Jesus will give them no sign. And yet he said, "I'll give you a sign." You know what the sign is? Jonah. Jonah. 3 days, three nights in the whale's belly, and I'll be 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. So you know what the sign is that Christ gives to evil and adulterous generations? He doesn't cater to them by performing miracles for them. He's not here to entertain people. The sign he gives them is he points them back to the scriptures and points them to himself. This is exactly what we saw Jesus tell these Pharisees back in chapter 5, verse 39. He said, "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Listen, there's a lot of people who've been raised with the scriptures. And they claim to believe the Bible. They have the Bible. We believe the Bible. We believe God. We believe Jesus. But they don't even know what the Bible really says. They only know a few verses. They haven't really continued in the scriptures. They've never actually proved the scriptures to see if they really believe them. They just say, they just talk, they just give lip service. And people like that who are in love with their bellies and in love with the world and covetous and greedy and adulterous and evil, Jesus isn't there to entertain for them. He's not there to show them tricks. You know what Jesus is going to tell those people? Go back to the scriptures and look for me in the scriptures. That's the sign he's going to give them. What sign showest thou then that we may see? Okay, again, so there's the problem. This is all about what they see. We've seen this through the whole passage. They're walking based on sight, not based on the word of God, not based on faith. People who want to see with the wrong heart, people who want to see with the wrong motives, will never see enough. If Jesus did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle for this multitude, if he did a repeat of what God did with Israel in the wilderness, if he said, "All right, come on, let's go," and took this group, this multitude, back out into the wilderness and just continue with them for 40 years, showing a miracle after, it would have never been enough. It didn't work when Moses was doing it, and it wasn't Moses' miracles, it was God working through Moses. Why would it work here? Jesus isn't here to do a repeat of Moses. He isn't here to do a repeat of the law. No. Ecclesiastes 1:8 says, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." See, people who are looking to see, but they got the wrong motive, they got the wrong heart, that eye will never be satisfied with seeing. It will never be enough. "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee?" See, for these people, faith is just an afterthought. It's an afterthought to their will of what they want to do, and it's an afterthought to their desire to see. And what we see is this is so backwards. Believing in the Lord should not be the afterthought of what we want to do and what we want to see. Believing in the Lord needs to be the core. That's why Jesus said, "This is the work of God. Not that you do, not that you see, but that you believe on him." And then they say, "What dost thou work? What dost thou work?" Interesting. I don't know. What does he work? Healings? Miracles? Feeding multitudes with a few loaves and a few fish? Walking on water? What? That's not good enough? You know, what dost thou work? What do you show us? Now watch this, verse 31. They're about to put Jesus up to a challenge. They're going to test him. Now we're going to see Jesus isn't going to bite. Jesus isn't fooled. But watch this little test they're going to throw out there. Verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now listen, these are people speaking, but it's almost like you can hear the devil speaking right through them, trying to tempt Jesus. Isn't this exactly what the devil did in the wilderness? Didn't the devil try to use the scriptures to test Jesus and to draw him away? They sure have the wrong spirit. "Yeah, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Yeah, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Yeah, they did. And don't you remember? They despised the manna. It's interesting. Notice how it's all about their bellies. Our fathers did eat manna. Can you keep feeding us? You know, we want more free meals. And again, just like the devil, they want to use the scriptures to get Jesus to cater to their lusts. Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think you're going to use the scriptures to get Jesus to cater to your lusts. So what's Jesus' response? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Okay, remember, we love this. 25 times in the Gospel of John, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's establishing his authority, the authority of his word, because on judgment day, his word is what he will judge people by. So he's laying it out. I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Okay? Moses did not give the meat, the bread that Jesus was talking about. Remember, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't you remember? The manna perished. If the manna sat until the next day, unless it was a Friday to Saturday, if the manna sat until the second day, it perished. Bread worms. No good. So, the bread they're talking about, that's not the bread he's talking about. And technically speaking, Moses didn't give the manna. So when Jesus says, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, that's a true statement both ways. First off, that bread, okay, the bread he's talking about is completely different from the bread they're talking about. Moses, he didn't give you that. But also, you know, even if you're looking at the same bread, Moses didn't give that bread. That was God who rained that bread down. That was Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. Okay, so watch this. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Again, all through John, my Father. You see this personal, intimate relationship between Jesus and his Father. My Father giveth you. Now look, if the Father's going to give you something, guess what? James 1 verse 17 tells us, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if you're going to receive something from the Father, you better believe it's a good and a perfect gift, one or the other. They're not necessarily always the same, but it's going to be good or it's going to be a perfect gift. That's what comes from above. So he says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. What's he talking about? Well, he's going to explain it. He's going to explain that the true bread from heaven is him. It's Jesus. But watch, he's going to explain verse 33. For the bread of God is he. Okay, we'll stop there for a second. The bread of God is he. Notice, the bread of God is a he. It's a him. It's a person. It's not an it. It's not a work. It's not a deed. See, what must we do so that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God. Hey, our fathers. So their focus is all wrong. Works, deeds, it. No. It's not bread. It's him. It's not food to fill your belly. It's him. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. Now, this is important, okay? I'm going to lay this out. I'm going to go to John chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. Jesus is speaking with the religious leaders. And in verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So again, he's pointing them to himself. You got to believe I am he. But notice, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world. This is important to understand. When we get born again, we are born of God's Spirit. When we get born again, we have a new man that's born of God, and we're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's true. But we, as a natural human being, we did not come from above. Now, when we're born again, then there is that new seed that did come from above that has been implanted in us, okay? So we become like Christ. But I think it's important to understand that there's one who's from the beginning. He's actually from before the beginning. And John is unveiling this throughout this book. That in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So there's one who was from above, and he left his throne from above, and he came down, all the way down into human flesh. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. This is not true of any other man. There's no other man that from the beginning or from before the beginning was up there. And then he left heaven to come down here. No. We are all naturally of the earth. We're naturally of this world. And praise God, we're going to see we can be saved. We can be converted. We can become of heaven. We can actually become heavenly and spiritual. We don't have to remain of this earth or of this world. We can be saved out of this present evil world. That's why Jesus Christ came. But it's important to understand, he's the one. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life. Hallelujah. Because remember back in John 1, in him, in the Word, was life. And remember, just back in chapter 5, verse 26, remember what Jesus just revealed. He said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So he's the bread of God which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Hallelujah. So he's not of this world, but he came down to give life to the world. Now remember, the world is lost. The world doesn't know him. Back in John 1. Remember, he was in the world. The world knew him not. World's lost. The world doesn't know him. But guess what? We're going to see in this passage that those who are in the world can be saved. They can receive life from Christ. Hallelujah. And everybody knows John 3:16. You know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent the bread down. The bread from heaven he sent all the way down. That whosoever believeth in him. We're going to see this whole theme of faith and believing in him. Not a deed. Not a work. Not ourselves. Believing in him. This is the key. So verse 34. The response sounds really good at the surface level. Their responses, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It sounds really spiritual, and it sounds really good. But we're going to see that they're not even close to really wanting what they're claiming they want. Okay, then said they unto him, Lord. So it sounds good. Jesus is Lord. You have to confess him as Lord. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-23. That not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So they call him Lord, but that's not necessarily good enough. You can say things with your lips that you don't really believe from your heart. Lord evermore. Now truly, he is Lord evermore. Forevermore, he is Lord. He is King. We're going to see when you get to the book of Revelation and you see the Lamb that's high and lifted up, worthy. He is Lord evermore. Lord evermore give. Okay, so now we're starting to get a little bit more to this heart. Lord. Now, by the way, they weren't calling him Lord evermore. They were saying Lord, comma, evermore give. But I was just kind of throwing that in there because he is Lord evermore. But Lord evermore give. Now, look at this. Evermore give. Come on now. That is the greedy heart of selfish, sinful man. Most people view the Lord as someone who has to give and give and give all the time. Evermore means like, just keep it coming. Keep it coming. Lord, evermore, give. Give. You know how many people, that's how they view God. That's how they view prayer. It's give, 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 give. That's not the Lord's will. Now look, he will evermore give. He's a good God. I mean, we're dependent on him. We actually need him to evermore give. But when that's the greedy heart, again, their greedy heart is being exposed, even in this statement that almost sounds like a good statement, almost sounds like they're requesting the right thing. But if you look through the lines here, we're seeing their greedy heart exposed because they say, Lord, evermore give us. Of course, give us. It's all about what you can give us. It's all about for us. We're not asking for somebody else. We're not like that guy coming to Jesus saying, please, my son is sick. Can you please come heal my son? See, he's coming to ask Jesus, but not for himself. He's asking for somebody else's sake. No, these guys, Lord, evermore give us, you know. Just come on, we need it. We want this. It's for us. By the way, the test of if the Lord is Lord or not of your life is not when you want something from him. That's not the real proof. See, because it's easy to say, Lord, Lord, when you want something from Lord, Lord, please, I need this. Lord, Lord, please, I need that. Lord, Lord, please, blah, 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 blah. You know, like a beggar. That's not the test of whether he's really your Lord. The test of whether he's really your Lord is when he wants something from you. That's the test. Say, what do you mean? Well, Luke 6:46, what did Jesus Christ say? Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So you're calling me Lord, Lord when you want something from me, but when I say this is what you need to do, this is what you need to believe, you need to leave everything behind and follow me, well, all of a sudden you got all these excuses. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's the test. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, evermore, again, it sounds so spiritual, sounds so right. It sounds like they're asking the right thing. Listen, if you met somebody on the streets today and you start telling about Jesus and they go, wow, give us this bread, give us this Jesus. You'd think, man, this is it. Let's pray the prayer. Boom, done, saved. But see, Jesus is not superficial. He's not just listening to their words outwardly. He's piercing through to the heart. So they're saying, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. They think they want the bread that Jesus is talking about. But we're going to see as we go on, the more he reveals about this bread, we'll see that it turns out that they truly are the children of their fathers. You say, what do you mean? Well, Numbers 11:6 and Numbers 21:5. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Sounds like they really want it. They don't want what Jesus is offering them. And as he continues to reveal more about the bread that he's offering, it's going to become manifest. They have no interest in what he's offering. They're going to prove themselves to really be the children of their fathers. Numbers 11:4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. See, they wanted to go back to Egypt and eat Egypt's meat. They didn't like the bread that God dropped out of heaven for them. You know, all we have is this, just this manna, you know, it's not good enough. Numbers 21, look what they say here in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Why'd you bring us out here to die? There's no bread, there's no water. Oh yeah, well, I know God's dropping bread out of heaven for us every day miraculously, but our soul loatheth this light bread. This doesn't really fill us up the way we like to be filled. Yeah, Lord, evermore give us this bread. You know, they think they want a repeat of the wilderness experience. If they had a repeat of the wilderness experience, they would have been the exact same guys that were back there whining and complaining, and God would have sent the fiery serpents and killed them, just like he did to the people back in Israel. By the way, that's what happened right after there, Numbers 21. They don't even want what they think they want. If they got it, they wouldn't even like it. They wouldn't want it. But they certainly don't want what Jesus is talking about, because Jesus is not talking about some bread dropping out of the sky to feed their bellies. Jesus is talking about himself and his doctrine, his word, and his work. And they're going to have no interest in him. No interest. And then Jesus is going to lay it out in verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I love this. And Jesus said unto them, he's about to set the record straight concerning this bread of life that he's been talking about, and concerning the reality of their hearts, and concerning the reality of the Father's will. So Jesus is about to set the record straight on in these next verses, verses 35 through 40. But we're just looking at 35 right now briefly. Jesus lays it out. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I can't wait for next session. We're going to open this thing up, and we're going to see that Jesus' words, Jesus' revelation, is absolutely 100% true. And not only is it absolutely 100% true, but this revelation of who he is absolutely our only hope. And when I say our only hope, I mean all of humanity that's of this earth. This is John chapter 6, verses 30 through 35. Amen.